A very happy Mother's Day to all mothers, old and young. You should have received a small token as you came in. In case any mother who has not, please claim your present when you leave. There is enough for everyone. Mother's Day is always a happy day, for we all remember mothers. In Chinese classic, 程子, I'm told, I'm not a Chinese scholar, when he realized that his parents were dead, and there was so great an unpaid debt of gratitude to them, owed but not paid, he was so stricken with grief. And how could he repay parents who are not there? In the heathen culture of that time, he sacrificed animals, hoping that by that act, he would make up for not having been what he ought to have been as a son. Does that ring a bell to anyone here? Please do not wait till parents are gone and then say, how I regret. No use to regret. But it's better to now remember them. Mother's Day is to remind us of the great debt we all owe to mother. And in case you do not realize it, please be reminded, you only have one mother. Only one. And therefore be grateful and show it, not in words, but in action. I have here a poem. I read it a couple of times many years ago, and I'm going to read it for you again. And I have also brought some copies in case you want them. They'll be here on this table. And before I read, may I say this, that the debt we owe mother is not just what is mentioned here. We owe mother a debt that can never be repaid when she harbored you for 9 months in her tummy. That is a debt that is seldom mentioned, but I must mention because that is my profession. We look after mothers for 9 months, and we understand the travail of mothers, expecting that little thing inside them. Think of the troubles of mothers, the loss of appetite, the vomiting and the travail through weeks and weeks when no food can get in because of you or me. And then think of the travail of labor. Oh, dear friends, those things are not mentioned in the poem. I'm going to read the poem now. My mother, says Jane Taylor, who fed me from her gentle breast and hushed me in her arms to rest, and on my cheeks sweet kisses pressed. My mother, when sleep forsook my open eyes, who was it sang sweet lullaby and rocked me that I should not cry? My mother, who sat and watched my infant head when sleeping in my cradle bed and tears of sweet affection shed? My mother, when pain and sickness made me cry, who gazed upon my heavy eye and wept for fear that I should die? My mother, who ran to pick me when I fell and would some pretty story tell or kiss the part to make it well? Mother, who taught my infant lips to pray, to love God's holy word and day, and watch it in wisdom's pleasant way? But mother, and can I ever cease to be ever grateful and kind to thee, who was so very kind to me, my mother. Oh no, the thought I cannot bear, and if God please, my life to spare, I hope I shall reward thy care, my mother. When thou art old and feeble and gray, my healthy arms shall be thy stay. For some of us here, that will not be, not never be, for mother is no more. And I will soothe thy pains away, my mother. And when I see thee hang thy head, 'twill be my turn to watch thy bed, and tears of sweet affection shed for mother, available to those who want it later. But let this provoke some to do something for mother. Genuine, heartfelt, and soon. Yeah, because the opportunity is not always there. Now, dear friends, beloved, this morning's lesson is taken from our scripture text. Now we are on to Colossians chapter 3. And once again, I say, dear friends, I hope you have been blessed reading Paul's letter to the Colossian church, reminding you once again, he wrote to a church he did not found, who were just known to him by letters. Appreciate what a tender, loving servant of God he was. And when you read this, pray that you understand the message behind the words. Today we have only two verses I want to read to you. First is verse 20 of Colossians chapter 3, addressed to children. I suppose we have almost none. They've all gone to Sunday school, so I should run there and talk to them. However, in case you are still a child, you listen. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Then to fathers, and I suppose mothers should be included, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. Thank God, today being Mother's Day, that we also consider the role of parents and children, how we can have strong families. Because if you have strong families, you have a strong society and a strong country, a nation which is populated by many strong families. It's a good nation. That must be our broader perspective, not just your family, but when your family is strong and all the families of this church are strong, built on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have a good, strong church. And that, multiplied many times, makes a good, strong nation. We all try. For some parents like me, our days of parenting are over. But if you still have children, now is your opportunity. Don't miss it. Because once it's gone, it's gone. So all must try. Although in this evil world, not all will succeed. Some of you know it only too well. Oftentimes I have parents who come with tears. What happened? Our son was once serving so actively in Sunday school, teaching even. Now, what happened to them? So there are regrets inevitable in this sin-cursed world. Those things do happen. But I say, dear friends, parents who are in grief, do not be disappointed. our Lord is still faithful, still able to strengthen, to comfort, and to encourage you. Go on trying. Go on praying. What instruction did we receive to become parents? Do you ever ask yourself that? Of course, I want to thank those who are marriage counselors. How many classes they hold to the prospective parents to let them into the principles of parenthood in Jesus Christ. And these marriage counselors, our elders principally and pastors, they do a great job. But then the job is only so much before you are launched to fly solo, as it were. After that, it's over to you, parents. You know, we all understand that in life we need a lot of training, teaching, instruction. For example, you don't drive a car just like that, but you go through much instruction. Highway code, practical testing, then you receive what? License to drive. Take the teacher. The teacher doesn't just go in and teach, but after 4, 5, 6 years of instruction, then they are licensed to teach. We doctors, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years before we are licensed to treat. Ah, how about being parents? Do we need to give them a proper license to be parents? But it does ring a bell, doesn't it? To say that too often young parents plunge into it without too much of preparation. But worse still is, after being in it, do not have the right directions, instructions to keep them going the right way. And this is where many a parent fall. Oh, my friends, we do not really pay enough attention. When I was in Melbourne, driving to church, we oftentimes pass a large field. And there we see a lot of men holding dogs. This is called the Canine Obedience School. Teaching dogs to obey. And they're quite good. Amazing how dogs obey. Then I ask myself, I wonder if these same men or women pay the same attention to their children to teach them how to obey. And the answer is hardly. Hardly. Oh, dear friends, it is a sad fact that the respect of children for parents is diminishing by the day, practically. The culture of today does not conduce to respect for age, respect for parents, but it is the other way around. I first sensed this when I went to America. When the son came up to the father, took a cigar out of his pocket and said, "Hello, Len. Father is Alan." He called him Len. And the father calls the son Alan and called him Alan. Wow! It's not daddy or papa or anything, but Len. Then when I went to Australia, it was a stage even more advanced. Grandchildren came and called the grandfather by the first name, and the grandfather is very happy. Amazing transformation. So, dear friends, I want to share with you a passage of Scripture which tells us these things are inevitable. It's a sign of the times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Kindly turn there quickly. It's not much we are reading there, but just two verses. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. And these are the times we are living in. And there is no choice. You cannot run away from the times, you know. This is the real world. And you live in it. You got to face those problems that arise because we live in the changing world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The word of God to you says, this know, in case you are half asleep. In case you think everything is fine, the word of God says, no, it is not fine. Please wake up. Dear friends, young parents, there is so much that God's word wants to tell you, but you've got to awake and listen. Here it is. Know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why perilous? Because our enemy is about, actively seeking whom he may devour. And you are the victim, prospective victim. Do you realize it? Young parents, these are difficult times. They're not easy. Not easy to be a successful parent. Verse 2. Here is the reason. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. How sad. And they think there is some kind of pride to be disobedient, to be independent in certain ways that you should not be independent, and to take no notice of parents, and to talk above parents, and to treat them unkindly. And worst of all is to be proud to parents, because they know much more than parents today, and this one, you've got to give it to them, that they do know more than parents. But knowledge does not demolish the moral and the spiritual relationship between child and parent. It does not disappear. So remember, 2 Timothy 3 verse 2. Children will be disobedient to parents. Even at a very young age, children can rebuff parents. Why? It is all in the human bloodstream. Ever since Adam fell, it is in us. There's nobody need to teach you, but it is in, and it circulates. And when the time comes, little children will defy parents, despise parents, because they think they know better. And this is part of the problem we have today when you talk of role of parents. Role of parents is to understand them and how to handle them. Oh, dear friends, can you tell me how? For me, as I say, it's past already. My children are having their time. How do you handle these things? And I say, again, I go back to that very simple maxim. For best results, ask the maker. Yeah? You got a television set, you don't know how to work it, go to the maker, Sony or whatever, Philips, get the handbook. Here is the handbook. The maker who made us gave us a handbook. And this handbook has all that you need to know in essentials and principles on how to bring up your children as parents. And this is the role of parents. You've got to know the Word of God. Now I have an OHP to help us follow. Number one is start young with the Word of God. There is a current fashion that says, let them grow up and they will decide. That is the teaching of the devil. Please understand, dear friends. You teach your children many things even from the time they begin to say, Papa and Mama. Many things you want to teach them. And I say, you ought to start early. Remember I told you the story of the wolf boy. The wolf boy was discovered when he was about 8 years old by hunters in India. Remember the story? That boy was running on all fours and brought up by wolves in a cave. They shot the wolf, got the boy. Now we got the boy. Wonderful. Not wonderful. Not really. The boy could not walk, could not learn to talk, and just behave like a wolf, although he was a boy, a human boy. Start young. Don't wait till he's 8 years old. He will not learn anything from you at 8 years old. How young? I say as soon as you can communicate. Here is a songbook. Some of you have it, some don't have it, but it's available there. Songs my mother taught me. Christian songs, gospel songs. I learned them on my mother's knee. Role of parents is to think, my child today is pliable, young and tender, ready to put in all those information into the computer chips in here. What you put in is going to last them a lifetime if you put in properly and early. Please, dear parents, if you're planning a family or you have one, get this. God is always near me, hearing what I say, knowing all my thoughts and deeds, all my work and play. I learned this on my mother's knee. And it goes on. When you're old, it still comes back, the tune and the words, and keeps on saying, God is always near me. All right. Many other songs are in here. That's number one. Number two, establish, what is this? Authority. Well, God has given you that authority. You who produce the children are given by God. Yes. This is your right, and you have to exercise it, but exercise it wisely. With God-given wisdom. Not brutally, not unreasonably. As the Word of God says here, in Colossians, it says, fathers, provoke not your children. Don't be harsh and unduly strict in some ways. So, when do you establish that authority? Do not wait. Do not listen to the modern philosophy says, let them decide. When they're old enough, they'll know what to do. By that time, alas, it's too late, dear friends. If you treasure your faith, if you treasure your child, make sure they know the word of truth and the faith of the gospel when they are young. And they will not depart from it when they are old. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the ways of God. Begin at childhood. Start young. And establish your authority. Your authority is to teach. Is to show the child what is the right way. And that authority, that responsibility is not mine, but is yours. Because the child is yours. And God has given you that responsibility. So to all young parents, please, don't miss your opportunity. Don't say it's so difficult. Don't say there is no time. I say, please, do not wait till you regret 20 years from now and say, oh, how I wish I had started in those days. Now the child is bigger than me, won't listen to me, and he's delinquent, and he's fallen into crime. How sad. It happens. But be warned. So please, God has given you that authority. Establish it kindly, gently, with prayer. Everything you do, do with prayer, with faith. And God will help you. Be what you think you want your child to be, right? But please do not have wrong ideas. If you intend to be a crook, don't teach him how to be a crook. That is not on. But please, with godly wisdom, before God, confess what it is that you want your child to be and be that godly thing that you think that child should be. Children learn by examples. Children learn from crooked parents how to be crooks. So let none here set that kind of example that will be learned by children. As they say, monkey see, monkey do. Children see, children do. They'll remember. Why? Why do I do it? Father did it. Mother did it. Number four, parents be united. Whether in advising or chastising a child, the worst thing is father says A, mother says no, B. And there will be confusion, and the child will not know what is right and who is right. And worse still, they begin to take sides. And there will be confusion in the house. Never, never let it be. Father and mother, pray before the Lord. The problem is difficult. We know it is difficult. Pray for wisdom and ask the Lord to teach you what is the right thing. Should this child go to this school or that school, play this game or that game, or do this thing or that thing, or go overseas or don't go overseas? There are so many difficult decisions. True? Absolutely. Today there are so many decisions. And the worst thing is, father says this, mother says no. And there will be chaos. Number five, trust in the Lord. Never give up. But you have to get it right from day one. Father and mother, build your home on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say no more than, no better than that. You remember that you were called out of darkness into its marvelous light. And that responsibility to teach your children is yours. Don't say, well, I send my child to Sunday school, that's it. I say, dear friends, that is not it. It's not. It's only supplementary. Basically, the primary responsibility is parents. Parents are in the position of pastors to children. God has given you the gift of a child. And that gift is His. Place in charge. We are all only in trust. Please understand. Can I repeat that in case you didn't get it? All of us are placed in trust. Children are in trust. One day God will ask, what did you do with your children? We are accountable. We are answerable. And how we treat our children today, how we nurture them, do not only remember all the physical, the financial, or the social needs of your child and pour them in, lavish them, everything they need. Nothing is wanting. Why, my child, they must have the best. No, we don't grudge you that. Yes, it's part of your responsibility, your wish, of course, it's your child. But please have the priorities right. And I say before God, remember, you are the pastor to your child. You cannot abdicate from this. You must not. Because every child is precious. Every child is a soul. Every child is a trust given to you and to no one else. You cannot afterwards blame grandmother or grandfather, although they may contribute. And I say grandfathers and mothers, grandmothers, be careful how you also interfere, but don't. Only interfere for good. But basically, back to parents, your responsibility, please discharge it while you have the opportunity, while you can, while the children are willing to listen. Today, that day is not too long. Because in many countries, they have peculiar laws called child abuse. You cannot handle the child. You cannot touch them.
you cannot apply corporal punishment in any way. Because the child will walk to the police station and then you'll be in trouble. And this happens in the West regularly. Yes. Parents will be hauled before the court for abusing the child, for slapping or for touching some way or for using the cane. So then you say, where does the Solomonic teaching that he who spares the rod spoils the child, he must use the rod and that the child would be good? Does it still hold? What do you think? Ah, my friends, be wise. There is a place and a time, and the time is when that child is very young. To try and use a rod on a child of 10 or 12 or after is total waste of time. I can tell you that. Today, in today's culture, children mature very fast. Mature so fast you do not know it. And their knowledge is so advanced that they look down on parents. Then you come with a cane and say, look, you listen to me. They run to the police station, you see. So the time to use is while they are yet pliable. Don't wait when they're very young, but always be reasonable. Role of parents, explain. Explain from the Word of God why the child should not tell a lie. Why he should not look at things and covet and steal. And why they must never bear a false witness if they go to school late because of something. Do not spin a fairy tale and say all kinds of things that did not happen. Now these things you got to teach them when young. Reason with them. Be reasonable. And then if the child is really wayward, disobedient, use a ruler with the hands out. Explain first, very clearly, why that punishment is being meted out, that the child understands. And that should be done, I would say, before the age of 10, mostly. After that, I say it's a waste of time. If you have different views, see me afterwards. We can talk it out. But as a rule, it is not effective. Try it on the young one. But always explain why that child is being punished. And when the child understands and agrees, that punishment is effective. Role of parents is not easy. Trust in the Lord. Do you pray for your child? Pray with the child? Do you have family worship? Oh, dear friends, we cannot do enough in the time available because children mature so quick and very soon. Nowadays, children go away, as they say, at the drop of a hat, they go away. In my time, very, very few children ever go away anywhere. Today, in the kindergarten, they're flying them to Shanghai to learn things of kindergarten. Amazing. Yes, it's fact. And during school days, so many of them are taken overseas, on excursions, all kinds of things. Very soon they live out of the nest. You parents cannot catch up with them. So it's difficult. Trust in the Lord. Pray for them. Instill on them the love for God. If you can succeed in that, you have succeeded. Right? Instill in them. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. Our Savior loves us, died for us. When that child can get this message in, you can thank God. Thank God. And you have half the battle won. Now, what else is there? Oh, there's another word. Oh, yeah, here. Few words to the role of children. All right, be grateful. How to be a grateful child is very hard. But mothers and fathers, it's over to you, up to you. How to teach the child gratitude. And I say there is nothing more grievous than an ungrateful son or ungrateful daughter who just spites the parents even from a young age. How do you do it? Pray. And pray and plead with the Lord. Holy Spirit, please change this child for me. Be humble. Pride in the child is the biggest stumbling block. When a child becomes proud, there is very little else you can do. So teach the child. Don't let the child learn to be proud because you are so proud. As I said, be an example. And this is so important. How can I be humble? Pray that God will make me humble so that the child will not one day thumb his nose at me. And because I've been doing it to other people, he's learned the method from me. He's so proud now. You can't touch him. Repay with obedience. Teach the child obedience. Why must you obey? Why is it good to obey? Why is it godly to obey? Explain to the child with tears if necessary. Teach the child with prayer before the Word of God at family worship, and make your family worship really a meeting point and a melting point of the family every day. You try it, dear friends. We did it all our lives until the children are gone. You do it because this is the only recourse we have. When a child goes, what do you expect of a child who is immersed in the school every day, 8, 10, 12 hours every day? Right? Exposed to all the things in the school. Exposed to all the things which matter. Very important to them. Projects and projects and projects, non-stop. And when can you make up and catch up with them? I say, you and I are fighting a losing battle if we do not take any steps. So, teach them. Be an example to them. And finally, walk with the Lord. There's so much we can teach them from the Word of God. I'm so glad so many of your members from here attend FEBC, Far Eastern Bible College, to learn more. But that's one place. But let us say this. Learn from the Word of God. Are you reading the Word of God yourself every day? The Bible holds the key, and the Holy Spirit is the key that opens the lock. Do you pray for the Holy Spirit every day? Pray for your children? Oh, dear friends, you only have them young once, but don't miss it. And children, teach them evermore how to be appreciative, to be grateful, to be humble, and to be wise. Wise in the things of God. All these things we have spoken this morning within the 45 minutes, but it takes a lifetime to work it out, to act it out, to do it yourself. I can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. Oh, my friends, I close with this. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Look to the Lord, dear friends. You have a difficult assignment, but never shrink because the assignment is difficult. Because the Lord is able to see you through every difficulty. And I say, trust in the Lord. Walk with Him. Plead with Him. Beg Him every day. Please help me. I have a family. I got children. And I need you. Will He answer? Absolutely. The Lord is able. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may Thou speak to our hearts. Parents and children, grandparents, aunties and uncles, all who are part of the family, that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ is head of every house, and He is able to save unto the uttermost those who call upon Him. So Lord, I commit to Thee every family, every child, every father, every mother. You keep us all strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, every day showing forth the salvation grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that boys and girls will grow up to be grateful, strong Christian boys and girls, and eventually Christian men and women. Bless every family here today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.